Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unveiling the Psychic Truth with your host, Courtney Overfield, which is myself. It is 10 a.m. Eastern Time on June 7th, and what a lovely June day we're having here in Michigan. It is actually cooler and very cloudy, but I guess it's a little bit of a change of pace because we've had a lot of hot weather the last week. I do want to send some prayers out there for all of those that are out west, currently dealing with the wildfires, and all those down south right now, including some of my own family that is in Florida dealing with all of the flooding and the tropical storm. So I just want to say, if you're listening, please take a moment to just send some energy to those individuals. Some of those have lost their homes, their belongings. I personally know what it's like to go through both a house fire and a flood. I've lost a lot in a house fire before, and a couple years ago, we dealt with some severe flooding here in Michigan, and I actually lost 90% of what I owned. So I definitely know what it's like to go through both scenarios, so I definitely want to send some energy out to those individuals who are going through that rough particular time. So, Unveiling the Psychic Truth, if you've never listened to my show before, welcome. If you have, then welcome back. Each month, I take this opportunity to talk about psychic topics, metaphysical topics, spiritual topics, and I tell the truth about them, what it's like from a psychic's perspective to understand and learn and deal with these particular issues or subjects, you know, what it's like for us. A lot of times my clients like to ask me questions, you know, what it's like to be psychic. Are you psychic 24 hours? You know, what it's like to go through this or what it's like to go through that. And sometimes they just ask questions about, you know, subjects that psychics should know, meditation or if they're a medium, you know, what it's like dealing with spirits and so forth. So this show is an opportunity for me to talk about those things. Now, June just so happens to be my birthday month, so I do want to put this out there for anybody who listens to my show. If you are listening to my show and you would like to book a private appointment with me, whether it be over the phone or in person, my office is located in Southeast Michigan. I'm actually out of Westland, Michigan. I will give you $5 off of any session. If you decide to book an hour with me, I will give you $10 off that session. This offer is only good through radio. So if you haven't listened to my show, then you actually don't get this offer. And that's a little something extra for my listeners for my birthday month, so to speak. Now, I will put this out there because I do this during every show every month. If you are calling in for a free psychic reading, I don't offer them on the air. That's not why I do this show. I know that there's two fabulous psychics who are also on this network, and they offer them every month, and you can check them out, but I don't. So I wanted to mention a couple things before we get started on today's topic. First of all, I'll be teaching a class on June 25th, and it's an intro to palmistry. If you're interested, it's a two-hour class, and it's $40. If you'd like to contact me for more information or to book a private appointment, you can contact me through my website, divinetemperance.com, email me at moonbeamessence@yahoo.com, or call me personally at 313-516-8210. So today's topic, I actually picked this topic with a little bit of a heavy heart. So if you took a look at the show information, you know, before today, the topic for this month is grief and loss and making sense of spirits, near-death experiences, and the other side. I picked this topic with a little bit of a heavy heart because I've noticed over the years as I've been doing readings that sometimes a theme tends to pop up. And that theme doesn't always last for very long, but it is a little bit of a theme. I can tell you that, you know, it may seem like 1 month I am reading everybody about their love life, and the next month it's everybody who is concerned about money or career. Within the last several weeks, a lot of my readings have been dealing with either grief or loss and suicides. Now, I have actually talked to more psychics in the community, and they've noticed this theme too. We don't say theme lightly. You know, this isn't something that we encourage, and this is sure is, you know, not something that we want. But it is something that does exist. You know, grief, loss, death, and those who feel like they're on the brink of suicide or considering that matter, it does exist. I chose to talk about it this month because I actually had a situation with a client where it was a little bit rougher, and it impacted me on a very, very deep level. First of all, when we psychics deal with certain subjects along these lines, there's an approach that we have to take. There's an approach to take whether we're pulling a spirit or ultimately we're reading the circumstances in cards or tarot ball, or even if we're just pulling the energy and interpreting it. There's an approach to take with that those particular clients. My first approach is this. There's absolutely no time frame on grief and loss. And I try to really make my clients understand that. You know, there are people out there that say, okay, well, you've grieved for a year. Get over it. You know, they've been gone. You know, individuals, well, you know, five months is the max, or 5 years is the max. And it's like, how can you really put a time frame on grief or loss? Somebody who suffers with grief and loss deals with it in ways that you and I could never understand. You know, that person meant something to them, whether it was just a friendship, a family, a really close relationship, whatever it was, that individual meant something very important to them. And to try to put a time cap on how long they're allowed to grieve or deal with that loss is a little ridiculous, at least in my book. Do I think that they should, you know, suffer with that grief and loss forever? No. It's not something that goes away within your heart or your mind, but it is something that I do insist with clients that you still have to live your life. You still have to get out of bed and go to work and love and, be loved and experience life. You are still living. You are still here. You are still having an impact not only on yourself, but the lives that you touch, the people that you talk to. So you have to still be conscious of who and what you're affecting. And grief and loss can sometimes make that a struggle, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. So those are my first 2 points with grief and loss. You know, don't put a time cap on it, and understand that even though you are still going through it, there is a level of understanding that, you know, you are still affecting people. For example, you know, I have a friend who lost her wife several years ago. I believe it was about 4 or 5 years ago. She suffers with that loss every single day. Even now, she still suffers with that loss. To her, it's an extreme. You know, she lost her wife in some really unfortunate circumstances, and she still feels that. But for me, I hurt for her too. I hurt every day for her too, because I would, A, never wish that upon somebody, and I see how badly, you know, her heart still hurts for that loss, and B, I see how some days are a struggle for her because she's still suffering. You know, she wants her wife back, and that's not possible. So understand who you're affecting. Understand, you know, that how you feel is affecting the people around you. And they may not understand. They may not fully be able to deal, but that doesn't mean that they're not hurting for you as well. So this kind of ties in with suicide, because suicide has been coming up a lot in my readings. And this is a really tricky subject to talk about, because first of all, I'm not a psychologist. And as psychics, the one thing that we try to strive for is that if we cannot help you on that spiritual level or that level of understanding, then we will recommend you seek professional help. You know, talk to a psychologist, talk to a therapist, talk to a grief counselor, you know, things along those lines. I really honestly feel it is morally right at the end of the day, to sit there and try to help someone understand, you know, why they want to commit suicide and so forth. If they're at a point where there's just no turning back and they're like, I'm doing this and you're the person I'm telling and so forth, then I would really, I've never had to do this, but yes, I would call the police. And I would have the police show up. I've actually just, I didn't talk to her personally, but found out that one of the psychics here in the community here had that situation happen, where she had someone come in and was very highly suicidal. She called and canceled all of her appointments for the rest of the day, and she called the cops, and she was determined to really get this woman some help. Suicide comes through when you really feel like you have nothing left to live for, and you know, I can say that I can understand that, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that can understand that. You know, getting to a low point to where you feel like there's nothing to live for, or ultimately getting to a point where it's just you give up. You know, it's too much, it's too rough. But as a psychic, it is one of the worst things to read for. It honestly is, because to see somebody at that level where they really feel like they have nothing left to lose, that it's, you know, they don't want to live anymore. They don't, you know, they feel like there's no way out. There's no other options. There's no other opportunities. You know, that is a really harsh thing to read for. Not only because, you know, my job is not just to help you, but I always have the philosophy of I'd like to see you leaving my table or my room or my office feeling better than when you came in. You know, that's a little bit more difficult with somebody who is suicidal. The other thing about it is I'm empathic, so I pick up on people's thoughts and emotions and just feel that despair and feel that depression and feel that low. It's really harsh. It actually affects us a lot more deeply than a client understands. Now, it's not their job to understand how it affects us, but it is our job to allow it to affect us in order to give you the best sense of help that we can. So somebody who's close to me, and I give her all the credits and kudos for this, her and I had gotten on this subject of, you know, this theme that suicide keeps coming up with clients. And she said something that was very inspiring to me. It actually touched me very deeply. It's something that I never had thought really much about. She said that she had a conversation with Spirit, which is totally possible, and that Spirit told her that those people who were considering suicide, you know, within, you know, this theme, and it keeps coming up, those people were not meant to leave the earth. You know, it's not their time, but something within those individuals needed to die. So let me explain. There comes a point in everyone's life where change is inevitable. We must kind of rise out of the dust, so to speak, and in some ways kind of transform from that caterpillar into that butterfly. It is an epiphany or a moment of transformation. And what she said was that most of these individuals who have considered this are on that brink. There is a portion of them that does need to die. There is something that they need to let go of, something that is no longer applicable within their lives. But they will transform into something more. They are not meant to suffer a physical death. What they are meant to do is have a sense or sort of spiritual death in a way, to transform their lives. Now, don't get this mixed up with enlightenment, because enlightenment comes at the end of the parade, so to speak. This is something that you are dealing with here on the physical plane. you know, suicide here on earth, you know, if you know somebody who is suicidal or feeling suicidal, you know, they're here on earth, they really want to go, you know, that's something they're considering. Enlightenment is a whole nother subject. So, but at the end of the day, it was something that I thought really harshly about, because I thought, well, that is definitely interesting. And of course, I thought about it and I applied it. And I actually talked to a very good friend of mine who was suicidal at that moment in time. And I explained to her, you know, this particular subject and how, what I thought and how relevant it was. And not only is she working on getting help, but she's still alive. She did not commit suicide. She's still here. She's moving forward. She's getting the help that she needs. She's talking to someone. She talks to me when she needs to. You know, it kind of pushed her to step forward. So I thought that that was a very interesting approach to suicide. Now, obviously, there are those people out there that will commit suicide. And it does happen, and I have even seen it in my readings and in what I do with working with clients, to have to pull a spirit who has committed suicide, or have to explain to somebody, you know, that so-and-so committed suicide, you know, you thought it was, you know, fishy circumstances, but this is really what they did. That's also a harsh revelation. But the one thing that I always try to explain to people is that if they do commit, if you have somebody in your life who has committed suicide or left this plane through suicide, understand that they're still doing a lot of good on the other side, that they may have not finished their karmatic lessons here on earth, but they are finishing them on the other side, in that they are doing a lot of good. From my experience, those who commit suicide, who passed on the other side, become guides, or, you know, will stick close to the family and try to guide or help. You know, they do have that level of regret and remorse. Some spirits I've come across will talk about it. Some try to avoid it. But at the end of the day, they are still doing good on the other side. They are still making a difference. Now, that in no way implies that somebody should commit suicide, because at the end of the day, on the other side, they can still make a difference. No, not implying that at all. But what I'm offering is a sense of compassion and maybe a little bit of closure for those who have suffered that particular type of loss, that understand that your loved ones are not suffering. I can't tell you how many clients have asked me, well, is so-and-so in hell? First of all, I'm not a very big advocate for hell, although I hear it's really warm down there. Lifetime of tanning. But I'm not a very big advocate of that, and not once in all of the years that I've been seeing spirits have I ever sensed a spirit that was in eternal suffering or dealing with eternal suffering because of their choices. Every choice you make has a repercussion, you know, every action has a reaction and so forth. So at the end of the day, are those particular spirits dealing with a repercussion? Yes, they are, you know, but it comes through in that form of becoming a guide, staying close to the living, seeing how you impacted those that you left behind, having that sense and understanding that you didn't finish your full karmatic, spree on this plane. You didn't finish the lessons that you were meant to learn. So you are sent to kind of be close to humans in a way, as a sense of a guide to understand the life lessons that you didn't learn. Some suicides reincarnate or come back, or decide to come back on this earth. And that's where we also have karma, in the sense of lifetime karma, lifetimes karma, lives, we'll stick with that, multiple lives. There's karma that kind of entails with that. But I think you guys probably get my point. So those are just some things that I really feel about grief and loss. understand that even when you lose a spirit, even when you've lost somebody in your life, one of the things that I always like to tell my clients is understand they're about a hairbreadth away from you. They're that close to you. Even though that they're gone and they do not have a physical body, they are still close to you. They still visit you. They still come and see you. They still try to impact you or get you to understand that they're around. Understand that just because they don't have a physical body doesn't mean that they're not there. And just because you don't sense them doesn't mean that they're not there. And I want to bring that up because that is another big topic that's been coming up with my clients lately. So sensing spirits. I get that question a lot. You know, do you have to be a medium to sense spirit? No, you don't. Sensing spirit is a lot different than pulling spirit. When a medium pulls spirit, we are pulling them to talk to them, to see them, to hear them, to feel them. We're pulling them because we want to relate specific messages. When I do mediumship readings, my goal is to relay messages and to give loved ones closure, to answer unanswered questions, to let you know that they're there and what they have to say. When you sense spirit, that is the sensation of, wow, I feel cold all of a sudden, like I've been touched or somebody's in the room with me. You know, I feel like mom's close to me. I kind of feel her around me. Sensing spirit is different than pulling spirit, and everybody has the capability of sensing spirit, of being able to sense that something more is around you than just physical human beings. It is a level of spiritual energy that is on a higher frequency than us. So yes, any one of you guys who are listening to this can sense spirit. Now, can you pull spirit? That is a little bit more trickier, and you would probably, well, yeah, you would have to be a medium or have some mediumistic tendencies to be able to do that. And what I mean is even if you're not a full-blown medium, mediumistic tendencies means that you're capable of becoming mediumistic or you show aptitude to becoming mediumistic. For example, I come across clients who will tell me, well, I see these orbs out of the corner of my eye. That's an aptitude to become mediumistic. But you would have to develop that gift and work with it more. And a few clients that I've actually come across really shy away from that. They have absolutely no interest in learning how to do that. Others, you know, want to learn how to do that and really want to work with that particular gift. So it just depends on the individual. Now, I always get the question of, so-and-so just died, why can't I sense them? Why won't they come to me? Why won't they come in my dreams? Why won't they visit me? Why won't they let me know that they're okay? Why would they come to you over me? Well, first of all, when a spirit crosses over, depending on their type of death, they go through specific things. For example, if a spirit died, if an individual dies very suddenly and very drastically, sometimes when they cross over to the other side, they retain that level of confusion. They are confused. They don't quite understand. The concept that they are dead has not quite caught up to them yet. Wait a minute, I had a heart attack in bed and died, what? Other times when a spirit crosses peacefully over and they completely understand that they're dying, they don't necessarily have that level of confusion, but there's still work to be done. So whether a spirit crosses in one shape, form, or fashion or another, they have responsibilities after death. I like to call it the download process. They are on the other side. They're downloading what they learned. They're seeing things from a different point of view. They're understanding from a different point of view. You know, they kind of have to explain themselves in a sense, but they're downloading to the greater whole. I like to call it the source. Almost like if you would plug a flash drive into a computer and you would pull everything off that flash drive onto that large computer. That's almost what it's like on the other side. A little bit of the same concept. So when somebody crosses over, whether they're confused or not, they still have work to do. So that is one of the first reasons why it is hard for spirits to come back so quickly and connect with you, because they're taking on a task or a role on the other side, or they are confused. And it's going to take a little bit of time for us, you know, because we determine time. There's no time frame on their side, you know, for them to become unconfused, to understand that they have passed on. Once that happens, now the freedom of spirits being able to kind of move back and forth comes into play. But here is what we tend to do on a human level that prevents it. When somebody passes over onto the other side, you know, even though that they're gone physically, they are not gone spiritually. And what happens is we still have an energetic link. Our memories, our emotions, our hearts, everything that we feel towards this individual still has an energetic link to spirit. We're all connected to spirit. We all came from spirit. So if my mom, hypothetically, passed tomorrow, and if she's listening to this, she's probably freaking out because she thinks I'm making a prediction, and I'm not. You're not dying, Mom. But hypothetically, if my mom passed tomorrow morning, I would not be able to pull her right away. Because for me to do that, for me to pull her right away, I would use that energetic connection to keep her here, keep her rooted here, keep her close to me. I would cling to her because I don't want to deal with the loss. I would not want to deal with the grief. I would not want to deal with any of the emotions that comes to that. If the best I can get is her being very, very close to me in spirit, then I'll take it. So what we tend to do, what spirit kind of, the rules that kind of came into play with that was that spirits don't always come to us right after death because of that fact, because we cannot hold on to them, because we cannot pull them and keep them rooted with us. That we have to go through the natural human emotions of grief and loss, that we have to deal with the concept of death. And because of that, they won't come to us right away. The other thing that grief and loss does is it creates an energetic barrier. It is thick. It is a very thick emotion to go through. And because of that, it creates its own energy. Any high energetic emotions such as grief, loss, depression, happiness, joy, you know, those emotions that really amp up your energy, anger, jealousy, those emotions create an energy in themselves. And what grief and loss tends to do is it tends to create a thick enough energy that blocks spirit. So I always tell clients, yes, you may have suffered with a death recently. Yes, that spirit is there, and yes, I can sense them, I can pull them, I can talk to them. But it depends on what type of death they had is what type of spirit I'm going to get, so to speak. So if they died very drastically, you know, they might be very, very confused. And even though I'm capable of pulling them, the information might not be clear at all because of it. You know, I may be able to sense them and feel them, you know, and see them, but I may not get as many words or things to say to you because they are still highly confused about the fact that they're gone, you know, that they've died. If they are, you know, they understand their death and they passed over, I may get some information, but not a lot because they're still in that download phase. They're still comprehending everything. You know, it is not out of reach to pull a spirit that's just passed, but what I'm saying is it's a little bit more complicated. So it is better for some time, to give it some time. For example, I just did a party and the woman there, I pulled her father, and he came through as clear as day. He's been dead for years. Her mother passed 6 weeks ago, and she came through to a point, but not very, very clearly. And the woman was very highly upset. She wanted to hear from her mother, but not enough human time has passed for that. And I told her to give it a little bit more time and then come back to me. Not only that, but she was suffering with so much grief and loss. You know, that emotion just, it showed not only on her face, but in her energy and just the way she was even standing, even the way she was talking to me. She was dealing with that grief. You could just feel it radiating off of her being. And because of that, that was creating a very, very thick energy that was preventing her mother from, you know, coming through. Now, you may think, well, that's harsh. You know, I'm preventing spirit from coming through, so I need to get over this grief and loss, you know, quickly. It doesn't work like that. And there's no way, absolutely no way, that your loved ones are sitting over there going, well, I just wish she'd get over the fact I'm gone or I'm dead so I could come through already. No, they're not doing that in the slightest. They understand. They are now part of source. They are part of spirit. They are on a higher frequency and a higher vibration than us. Their understanding is great. And they understand that there is a purpose to your loss and a purpose to your grief and a purpose to your emotions. And that you are more than capable and free to have those emotions. You have to understand that spirit's not on a time frame. They're not over there counting the days. To them, time is irrelevant. Time is relevant to us, but not relevant to them. So whereas you're thinking, well, it could take me years to overcome this grief, to them, it might feel a short amount of time as minutes. Understand that time is not relevant to them, that they are not on a time frame, and that you do what you need to do. Lastly, I wanted to talk about near-death experiences and the other side, because I get this question a lot, and I've been getting it a lot more recently. You know, what's it like on the other side? You know, are mediums allowed to travel over there? You know, is it a two-way street? Near-death experiences, does every medium have a near-death experience? I get a lot of these questions, and they're coming up more and more frequently of late, which is perfectly okay. That's one of the reasons why I decided to do my show on this topic. Does every medium need to have a near-death experience? No. I can't say that it would help, because who would want to go through a near-death experience? I mean, I don't necessarily see people lining up to do that. You know, hey, I want to have a near-death experience today. You know, so I cannot sit here and say that, well, to have it would make you a better medium and to not have it would make you a better medium. I would not say that at all. I would not say that at all. I would say it makes it gives us a different perspective as a medium. You know, I've had a near-death experience. You know, I actually had more than one. It gives you a different perspective as a medium and a psychic, but any psychic or medium out there that has not suffered or not does not have a near-death experience, it doesn't take away from their knowledge. It doesn't take away from their experience, and that doesn't mean that they're less of a medium or less of a psychic because of it. It just gives you a different level of experience. It gives you a different approach. It gives you a different understanding. It's different. I've never had someone come to me and go, well, because you had a near-death experience, you're a better psychic than so-and-so. Never, ever, ever had that happen. And I honestly don't believe it. I don't believe that a medium has to know what it's either like to die or been close to death to be a great medium. I think that mediumship is a gift. It is a gift for you. It is a gift for a client. It is a gift for the people that we help. And a near-death experience is a personal experience for that psychic or medium. It is a personal experience that, the best way I can say it is I learned a lot about myself with that experience. I learned a lot about who I am and who I wanted to be on my life path because of that experience. Now, I don't talk about my near-death experience very often, unless somebody brings it up or I get questioned on it. Why? Because it was a very personal experience for me. And also because I don't use it as a sense of, well, I died, so I understand everything. I don't believe that either. I believe that the reason why I had that particular experience at the age that I did was for a greater understanding of my life path. It really steered my course towards what I do today. It steered my course, to have my own business, to work in the metaphysical and spiritual community, to be of service to others, to teach classes and create my own product lines, and to really put my heart and soul into helping any individual that I came across. So it steered my path more than anything. So my near-death experience. I was actually 17 years old, and for months I had stomach issues, stomach pains, was having a hard time eating, and, a few times I would actually throw up randomly. You know, I remember one night throwing up a whole spaghetti dinner. Never had any problems with spaghetti before that, but doctor kept telling me, oh, no, you're 17, it's just irritated stomach lining, back off the caffeine, back off this, back off that, and I did what the doctor said. I took the medication, and I remember the last night, right before winter break, this is my senior year of high school, it was the last night of winter break, I was going back to school the following morning, I drank a Sunny Delight before I went to bed, and I woke up in extreme pain. And, parents, my stepfather thought I was joking. He thought that I was trying to get out of school, which made absolutely no sense, because if you knew me, I was a 4.5 grade point average student. I was in 5 clubs in high school, and I rather go to school. I loved school. I loved the learning, and I loved all of it. So there was no way I was trying to get out of school. I wanted to go back to school. And my mother, who I called at work, literally just knew. She was like, you're having a gallbladder attack. And she came home and she rushed me to the emergency room. I was in that hospital for, I don't even know, it was about 15 hours before they really, by the time they did all the testing and so forth, they said, you have to have gallbladder surgery and you need it pronto. While going that long without eating anything, I had a nurse come in who said, okay, we're going to discharge you and schedule the surgery for this week. Pretty much we're probably going to do it tomorrow morning. And so I ate a granola bar, and lo and behold, the doctor comes in and goes, we had you scheduled. We were going to do it today. So I had to wait till the following morning. Went into the hospital the following morning for the surgery, very nervous, but I thought, okay, this is a requirement. I have to do this in order to live. And, I remember them coming in and, we're going to give you the drugs to relax you and so forth. And I remember my mom telling me, you're going to be just like everybody else in the family. You're going to be just like me. You're going to have those 3 little incisions and that's it. And at that moment in time, the woman shot the medication into the IV. I was feeling really relaxed. And I said, but I don't want to be like you. Famous last words, so to speak. Because I was 17 years old, and because it was a decently major surgery done on somebody so young, the surgeon misjudged my body mass. And when he made the incision, he cut the main artery running through my stomach. And I started bleeding to death internally. They couldn't quite figure out where the bleeding was coming from. They couldn't quite figure out what was going on, period. And the nurses actually came out into the waiting room and told my parents, she's dying and she's not going to live. We cannot figure out what's going on or where the bleeding is coming from. I don't remember any of the bleeding to death or anything along those lines. I was obviously under at the time. I can tell you, I saw a beautiful field. A beautiful field of wildflowers. I mean, gorgeous. The colors were so vibrant and bright. And I remember hearing a voice going, you have to go back. And it was my great-grandma, who had been gone for 3 years. She'd been dead for 3 years already. And I heard her go, "You have so much left to do. There's so many things that you need to accomplish and so many lives that you're going to change. You have to go back." And I thought, well, I don't want to go back. It's really nice here. It's calm. It's peaceful. And she said, "Nope, you have to go back." And I did. Towards the end of the surgery, when they took out the anesthesia and so forth, I remember waking up at one point and hearing the doctor say, "We still don't think she's going to make it. We don't know if we handled it the right way or did it the right way. She could still die." And I remember thinking, well, screw this, and I went back to sleep. I remember waking up another time and hearing so much blood loss. We had to do transfusions. And I thought, well, screw that too, and going back to sleep. When I woke up, I did not even understand. I thought I had this surgery, and I couldn't quite understand what was going on. Because I had been under so long, I woke up and I was gasping for breath. I couldn't breathe properly. And they actually had to put me on oxygen. I was in that hospital for over a week. They put me in ICU, told my parents they still didn't think I was going to make it, and obviously I'm alive today. I can tell you that changed my whole perspective on things, even as a 17-year-old. Even by then, I was still, I was already studying tarot. I was already reading friends and family and so forth. So I knew spirituality. I'd understood religion. I understood a lot about the metaphysical community. But I will tell you, it changed my perspective. It changed the way I looked at life completely. To have, my great-grandma come to me and tell me that I was meant to impact lives and make changes and do those things, I strove forward to do so, not because it was expected of me, but because I wanted to be that individual, because I wanted to do that. It meant something to me, and now I had that validation that I could do that. It gave me courage and confidence. I can tell you I had another near-death experience where I actually am allergic to codeine, and a doctor prescribed me Tylenol 3, which has codeine in it, and I didn't know. I was young, and this happened after the first near-death experience, and I took one. And I actually went into anaphylaxis, but because my mom had never seen anaphylaxis and nobody, in my household had, and my friend happened to be with me, nobody really understood. And what ended up happening was I forced myself to throw the pill back up, and I blacked out. And I woke up the next morning, and because I had threw the pill up out of my system, I survived it. But and that was another near-death experience. I can't tell you that anything really occurred with that one except for I was grateful. and let me tell you, I'm very, very conscious of my medical allergies and my history. And when I go to the doctors, I'm really on top of things now because of that. Near-death experiences not always allow you to go visit the other side. I've heard about people who have had near-death experiences where they actually have absolutely no knowledge or experience with the other side. They don't see the other side. They don't have any awareness of the great white light or the plain of wildflowers or the talk with God. They know that they've suffered with a near-death experience and they've come back. But they don't retain any knowledge or experience, from the other side because of it. That's perfectly okay, and it happens. I think that maybe with those types of near-death experiences, either the individual is a little closed off, or ultimately maybe they're not supposed to fully understand that experience till a later date. Maybe it's an epiphany or an awareness that needs to come at a later time within their lives. I've also heard different stories about the other side. My experience was my own. I've heard people tell me that they've talked to God, that they've seen God, that they've seen a white castle or glass pillars or, that they were sitting in a swing or, everybody has a different experience. I have also heard, some psychics go, well, because of this and this, my experience is more relevant. I don't believe in that either. I think that the experience itself says something. And I think that, yes, anybody who has a near-death experience, your experience is going to be different than mine. Not only because we're unique, our souls are completely different, and the way we register information within our minds is completely different, but because I think that our versions of paradise or the other side might vary too. And I'm a firm believer from what I've seen of the other side that it comes to you in the best way that you could cope or deal with being dead. So for you out there who are listening right now, think of your sense of paradise. It could be a beach. It could be standing in the middle of England. It could be anywhere. But I guarantee you that one listener who is thinking right now, well, I would love to be on a beach right now with a margarita in one hand and an umbrella and the waves just lapping and it'd be a good solid 80 degrees. The next listener might be, no, my sense of paradise would be that field of wildflowers or being outdoors or sinking my feet into the grass. So wouldn't it make sense that spirit would show us the best scenario suited for us, that spirit and the other side would do its hardest work to give us that sense of understanding, you know, a sense of comfort, a sense of what we would like to see when we come to the other side. I think that's why we all have different near-death experiences. I think that's why one person's tale is different than another. You know, I also get the, well, where does religion come in with that? I've studied a lot of religions over the years, and I have my own, but what I will say is every religion has a purpose, and that purpose is maybe a different journey for each of us, but ultimately we're reaching the same end. And maybe religion comes into play in the sense that because of that level of faith or belief that you have, that is what you get on the other side. You know, that is your experience on the other side. Now, I'm also going to say I don't roll hell into that. So for those of you who are Catholic or Christian and so forth, that is your own personal belief. And, that comes into play in another way, but I've never experienced hell. I've never had any experience with hell or a spirit that is, you know, suffering through endless torment or anything along those lines. But I can also back that up where I've never pulled the spirit of a mass murderer, a suicide bomber or anything along those lines. So my experience and knowledge with that is not only very vague, but it's not there. So as far as the other side, I think that, like I said, it varies for each of us. It will vary for each of us. So these are just some things to keep in mind. The next time you go to a medium, keep an open mind. Keep an open mind to what information you receive or what information comes through. Keep an open mind to what they have to say to you and what messages that they're pulling. I recently did a psychic party where I read, I believe it was seven people all in a room. And trust me, I've done larger groups. I've done way larger groups than that. But one of the women actually just came back to me recently because the messages that came through, she wanted to understand them better. And we went over some of the messages and so forth that came through from her mother. But she was more concerned about what everybody was thinking about those messages in the room as opposed to what they meant for her. And I had to, I tried to explain that, first of all, when I do a mediumship party like that, you have every right to tell me to stop or disconnect from spirit. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk to that person, yada, yada. I'm very flexible in that regard. The second thing that I always try to tell people is that I'm blunt, and whatever they say, I'm going to say. You know, if they're taking the time to give you that message, I'm going to give you that message. So be cautious because they still have some of the personality traits of when they were alive. So if they were, cussing like a sailor. I try to avoid that, but at the end of the day, that might come through, that they're still talking that way. So, you know, I always give the clients the flexibility, but the one thing I always try to say is if you are completely uncomfortable pulling or hearing those messages in front of others, then get a private session rather than do an open party like that. And I think that that would have been better for her. But the reason why I bring this up is because she was so focused on the messages that came through and what other people were thinking about those messages that she didn't realize that those messages came through for a reason, and not only impacted her, but happened to impact the person she was there with in a positive way. They were not only open to the messages, but they received them, and it made them feel better. You know, it made them more open-minded within their relationship. You know, it actually had a positive effect. And so, you know, when you go to a medium, keep an open mind. Even if the message doesn't make sense at the moment, doesn't mean it won't make sense in the future. You know, even myself as a medium sometimes pull psychic information intertwined. You know, that spirit wants to give you some messages of the future or some things to focus on too. They still care. They still care about you and what's coming up in your life and what you're dealing with. They still care about all of that. So sometimes they give messages of encouragement or tell you, go get that new job that you keep putting off for the last 6 years. You know, they throw all of that out there too. But do me a great favor, and if you talk to a medium or you get a mediumship session, just keep an open mind. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you for joining me. I see all these callers in the queue that are listening. Thank you so much for doing so. I hope I've helped you guys in some way. If you have any questions about today's material or subjects, anything about near-death experiences, you have questions about mediumship, anything that I've talked about today, anything about the topics that I've discussed today, feel free to contact me personally. You can email me at moonbeamessence@yahoo.com. Give me a call at 313-516-8210. You can contact me through my Facebook page, Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield, or you can check out my website, divinetemperance.com. I have no problem answering any questions on today's subjects or material. If you would like to book me for a session, I offer sessions Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. all the way up to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I do out-of-state readings, and I've done readings out of country as well. So, you know, it's really easy to book a phone reading with me, and you can contact me to do so. And also I'm going to repeat what I said earlier in the show, June happens to be my birthday month. So if you listen to the show today, and you call or you email and you mention to me that you listen to this show, you can receive $5 off of any session, or if you book an hour-long session with me, I will give you $10 off. And that only applies for the month of June. So I'm only giving this offer out until the end of June, and then it's null and void. If you're local to the Michigan area, I work out of my own private office in Westland, Michigan. I hand make a lot of my product, prayer beads, malas, prayer pendulums, stone grids. I have my own candle kit line. I make a lot of kits for manifestations. I do a lot of my own product. You can check out my Divine Temperance page on Facebook. I post a lot of pictures of my product and so forth, and some of my product is on my website, so feel free to check it out. And lastly, if you are also local to the Michigan area, I'll be teaching palmistry on June 25th. It is a two-hour class from 12:15 to 2:15 in the afternoon, and contact me. It's $40 for the class, and I can help you register for that. I want to wish you a wonderful rest of the month. I hope you enjoy. I will be back on the first Tuesday of the month in July. And I also want to tell you all, just very, very quickly, because I see we have about 5 minutes left, the summer solstice happens to fall on June 20th, which is kind of ironic because my birthday is the 21st. So I was actually born on the summer solstice that particular year. The solstice happens to fall on the 20th, and we're also going to be dealing with a full moon that evening. On top of it, we will also have three planets that are in alignment that evening. It will be a supercharged, jam-packed, fully packed, energetic wave of energy. The solstice will be very, very potent. So get your crystals out to cleanse and charge them. Pull out your tools. It will be a great day for divination. It'll be a great day to get a psychic reading. Burn your candle kits. Anything that you really want to manifest or achieve, roll it out on the solstice and put it out there. It is going to be a wonderful, energetic day for manifestation. So stock up, get ready, and let it roll on that day. And have fun with it. And even if you don't have time to do it in the morning or in the afternoon, sit down and do it in the evening. You know, that energy will be going all the way even past, you know, when the sun goes down, so to speak. So kind of keep that in mind. The other thing is if you don't have time to do some kits or do some things along those lines, charge your stones, at least take 5 minutes and just breathe the air, breathe the energy, allow it to cleanse your body and nurture your body and just soak up all of that pure white light. It is a positive day. It is a great day to cleanse out anything negative, anything that it's time to go. So if you have any questions on some things that you can do for that day, or you're interested in some manifestations, some candle kits to burn, to get some specific things or crystals or anything, feel free to contact me as well about that. I have no problem answering those types of questions, and I ship all over. So I want to wish you a wonderful rest of the month. Keep that in mind. And until next time, bye-bye.